Hey, everyone. Welcome to the A to Z of Sex with me, Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. I'm a sex and intimacy coach and a psychologist, and I've spent the last 33 years helping people to create and maintain meaningful relationships that have sizzling sex without shame. We are working our way through the erotic alphabet one letter at a time, and we're at the end of the alphabet again. Today, the letter is Z, and Z is for Zoom and relationships and sex. Now, I know we've done Zoom sex before, but I had the opportunity to do this one a little differently with two amazing people. So joining me today are the hosts from Good Sex, Bad Sex podcast, which is a sex podcast from metro.co.uk. It's done by Miranda Kane and Bibi Lynch, and they have been in conversation with sex perts, sex haters, and sex mothers. Good Cop, Bad Cop, but with more handcuff action. The Guardian, Miranda Sawyer, loves them and says, ex-sex worker Miranda Kane and professional prude Bibi Lynch discuss sexual matters in an upbeat fashion with lots of laughs and teasing each other about their different attitudes as they uncover a wide variety of sexual kinks and persuasions. We've heard from an erotic wrestler, from a thruple, and from a sugar baby, but Good Sex, Bad Sex is also unafraid to discuss the lack of sex, erectile dysfunction, and awkwardness about getting naked, informative and fun. They have had the spunkiest of guests from Belle du Jour to Phil Nickel, don't mention the broken cock, to a tech dom, to a slave called Chicken Boy. And they are the queens of TMI and DIY. Neither of them have had sex since they started podcasting about sex. So do join them for laughs and revelations and amazing surprise guests. You can find their podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, and other popular podcast platforms. And it is produced by Juliet Nichols. So I'm going to tell you, Bibi Lynch, or Bibi Bernadette Lynch, is a writer, has written for The Guardian, Stella, Sunday Times Magazine, and on Toilet Walls, and a broadcaster, Soho Radio, BBC Radio London, BBC Sussex, and BBC Surrey. Short, freckly, Pisces, Virgo rising, and writing her first book, which actually means spending all her time abusing people on Twitter. Miranda was a plus-size sex worker for 7 years and is now an award-nominated comedian who has traveled the UK and Australia performing stand-up comedy about her experiences. She recently wrote and performed in the sitcom Slaving Away for Audible.com. If you haven't checked out Slaving Away, you need to. Oh my God, it is wonderful. So I'm going to welcome both of them to the show. So I was, one of the reasons I thought it was great to do this show is because this is what we do all day, every day now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, just chat on our screens.
Yeah. And so I've done one on Zoom sex, but that was a kind of weird one. And so I want to talk about it the longer this goes on. How do you guys feel like this impacts relationships, all kinds of relationships?
Miri, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. So I found two very different things. And this sort of ties in with Good Sex, Bad Sex, in that it's allowed us to talk to so many more people than we ever would have thought possible. Because it's not just us. Like, I'm a big podcast fan myself. So whenever I listen to podcasts and they've had people via Zoom, the technology just hasn't been there to make it a comfortable listen. But we've had it now for 9 months. So people are investing in proper microphones.
Right.
They're investing, Zoom is investing in making their platform easier to use for everyone. So it's now so much easier for us to talk to people and for people to hear it on a podcast. They're used to listening to people talking to guests via a Zoom link now, which makes it a lot easier for us to connect to our listeners because they're expecting it. And also on a personal level, like, I can talk to my friends a lot more. I can talk to people who are in different parts of the world and different parts of the country. It's a bit safer for us to meet up for a drink because I live in London and that can be a bit of a pain in the ass to get on in a taxi home or, you know, catch the last tube or something. And sometimes you just think, oh God, I can't really be bothered. But when you're just having a drink in your pajamas over Zoom, it just makes it so much nicer and easier to chat to people. And again, like I said, because we're in this shared environment that everyone's doing it, that makes it so much less unusual and not quite as weird as it would have been, you know, to not meet up in person.
So, Bibi, what do you think?
Do you mean in terms of just general communication or how it will impact on sex long term?
Both. I mean, you know what, you know, I mean, I think one runs into the other is my experience.
That's ours.
That's because you've got a good connection.
Yeah.
I think I'm ambivalent about Zoom. So if we're talking like just kind of getting us through the pandemic and just kind of like in touch with friends and stuff, it's, you know, it's better than not seeing people. It's better than not seeing people in real life. And it's kind of, and it, you know, it has given us the treat of people being caught having sex during meetings, which can never be undervalued or underestimated. And I think also it's afforded people a way to have sex, you know, but I kind of personally don't like it because it kind of reminds me of what I'm missing too much. And I find it really intrusive. I find it, it's my pussy. I find it a bit intrusive. And I kind of, you know, in terms of our work, it's been much less fun, hasn't it? It's great. It's given us great access to people like you, but there is that disconnect. There's just something that's different with it. And also my face looks bloody awful on Zoom. So I've had to, it's set me back years in terms of confidence. But the way I think it will affect sex and relationships is Mary and I interviewed Ian and Shasta, from Seven Star Love, and they were talking about I'm not gonna be able to say it, neither of us could say it on the podcast, non-ejaculatory orgasms.
So they're talking about when men withhold their let's put it in English, they don't come in terms of shooting out anything,
not quickly.
Montagia was the one who originally talked about it.
But what was interesting about what they said, and I think this ties in, is I think what Zoom has done has afforded different kind of sex for people during what's going on. And I think when we come out of that, do we want that kind of real fast food Zoom sex, you know, or do we want what they're talking about, which is like something that really affords an intimacy and a real connection? And I kind of think, I think we're going to have both. I think online sex has gone on forever anyway, but I think it will carry on. But I think as well, I think people will really crave. I don't even remember what it feels like to hold someone's hand.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, so there is this sort of skin starvation going on for lots of people.
And oxytocin, none of us are getting that.
Well, and I mean, I have a husband in the house. It was one of the interesting things, one of the interesting conversations with non-monogamous people, which we are, is that people seem to think that we're not suffering because we live with a partner. But they don't, you know, a hug from him is not the same as a hug from DK or a hug from Shakir and Layla, or a hug from John, or a hug
Just a hug. Just a hug from a friend. You don't need
to be. But people think that you don't miss your other partners, and that you're not starved for them as well. And it's like most of us have more polyamorous folk have more than one serious relationship.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make up for it by having one person there. Yeah. At the same time, I feel blessed that I actually have physical contact, not only with my husband, but I get hugs from my son who's 18, you know, and I've got my dogs. And so I think I'm probably not quite so starved as the people that I know who are living on their own.
But it's also, BB.
No, go on.
No, you go on. I was going to go on to something else.
So. Oh, I'm hating it. And especially this time, because there's no end date and it's driving me, I'm hating it.
Yeah.
I really, really hate it. And I hate not having, like I say, you know, I can't even remember what it feels like to hold someone's hand. So I think going forward with sex, I'm wondering if actually we're going to go back to basics a little bit rather than employ the tech and all the kind of smart tech where you can, like, you know, have sex with your partner who's not even in the room as you, and all that's brilliant and that's great and that will never go away. But I do think there's going to be something like a kind of going back to the old school kind of prick tease and kind of, you know, just kind of like footsie under a table and just the kind, do you know what I mean? The kind of courting, because that's a real basic thing that's just gone. Because if you're going to have sex, you're going to meet someone online, then you're going to start fucking them online. There's definitely you know, it's kind of what Inge and Shasta were saying to us, Miri, which is that kind of like, you're not using someone in a bad way, but they're, you know, it's an end to a means, and it's a different kind of relationship and fulfillment that I think we might be craving when this is all over.
But I quite like how you, BB, went into, oh, yeah, you know, we'll go back to basics and do a bit of footsie under the table. I immediately thought, oh, there's going to be a rise in swinging clubs.
See, I'm not.
And there is. There is, but Miranda, you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry, you're right. I mean, there is going to be a rise in people wanting to try things out.
Yeah.
I think it's the other way.
I know. I also, no, I think you're both right. I mean, that's the thing. I think both things are going to happen. I think you're going to get a lot of kind of old fashioned courting going on in certain circumstances. And then in others, you're going to get people desperate to try new things.
Yeah.
I think particularly the couples who have been locked in the house together,
yeah,
who are never, were never intending on being locked in the house together. I have clients who decided to shelter together or to shield together because they didn't want to be separate, but they didn't live with each other and they never intended on actually living with each other. And so listening to them talk about what it has been like, you know, one couple are going to like live together forever. That was it. But the other two are like, I never want to live with you.
So it's been a real test for people. Some people that I know have like gotten engaged because they spent lockdown
together.
Yeah. But I was going to say on the and also on the topic of couples living together, I've found it really interesting what people are like on Zoom because their partner is still in the same house, still in the same flat.
That's funny.
There's not actually privacy there. So me and a really good friend of mine, she lives with her husband, but our chats have not been the same as they would have been without a husband. Like, he'll butt in, do you know what I mean? There'll be like bits where, and I'm just like, fuck off.
I'm fucking lucky because he really, for the most part, leaves me the fuck alone when I have one friend who, yeah, I would not have actually spoken to this often because we used to kind of be lazy about it. And so we would talk a lot when we were together, which was a few times a year. Now, I don't think we'll ever give up the weekly chats because we just love it. We spend an hour to 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
And it's not only good support, but it's fun. But for the most part, I mean, her sir will come in and out occasionally. And mine will, like, unless I've asked for food, will leave us the fuck alone. So we can actually have whatever we want. We can sit here and say, but that's because I'm a therapist and they're used to having to leave me alone.
Yeah.
So they don't distinguish between she's talking to her friend and she's talking to a client. They're used to having to stay out the way. And I think that's why. Otherwise, I know lots of people I talk to, and like the other person comes walking through the it's like, fuck off. We're trying to have a chat.
Yeah. And I only noticed it because we had an actual face-to-face chat the other day. And it was like, God, this is so much different. Like, I know you think that this is actually the same kind of conversation we would be having. But and even if it's not him sort of coming in and out, it's still like, you know, you're aware that that other person can hear you. So, it's
Are you feeling more inhibited by it rather than her?
Yeah, I feel inhibited. I don't know whether she feels, but I know that the conversation was a lot different than like we were doing, like bitching about him, but we do sort of like playful bitching about it. But there were times when it was just like, God, you know, let's just have a proper, you know, woman to woman chat about stuff. And so it's just, I don't know. It's like, I start this conversation going how great it was. And now I'm like,
exactly. I knew I was right.
I think it's both. I mean, I think that a lot of relationships have increased in intimacy because of Zoom, because they can't have the level of physicality that they normally would. So they've had to be creative. They've actually, you know, there are people who are talking far more than they ever would have talked, and talking about sex far more than they ever would have talked. So by the time they have physical sex, they're going to have better sex because they've actually talked about what they desire. And, you know, I spend half my time trying to get people to actually have a conversation about that before trying to fuck the person. Like,
this is really interesting. And you're totally right. It's kind of, it's the most delicious slow burn, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and in a way, exactly that, you know, if you're meeting I mean, Miranda meets people. Are you still doing Craigslist, Miranda? when Miranda meets people. But, you know, it's like, someone was saying this the other night, that if it's kind of like just a quick chat, you know, oh, should we go for a drink? And then it's like, it's kind of the expected, the rules are kind of, there's an expected, you know, way, pattern it happens. And this is kind of strung that up. So, yeah, I love that about it.
But well, that's the typical heterosexual pattern. The typical heterosexual pattern is, you have sex before you actually talk about sex. And if you're kinky, you can be heterosexual and kinky and that's not your pattern. Or if you are not heterosexual, you actually tend to chat more unless you're gay and you're going to glory holes. So you're not right. That's different. But you tend to actually talk about what you want because you don't know if the person's going to match up with what you want.
That's so clever.
So like you actually, like, I don't actually have sex with anybody until I've had a chat with them about what I'm into.
Oh my God.
Ever.
What do you do? So do you sit there and just go, and do you take notes? I mean, how do you do it?
Well, sometimes people take notes. I mean, you know, sometimes people, I particularly anal pin, usually those are people I decide I'm not going to sleep with. you can't actually remember the three or four things I said on it too. You've got to take notes. We're probably not compatible. But I know. Yeah, I mean, you actually sit down and you have to get good at talking about what you want, especially if your stuff is freaky and mine is. So it's like I say, you know, what are you into? I mean, before they even meet me, they know that I'm submissive, and in sex, I'm always submissive. So if you're also submissive, the most ridiculous thing is watching two submissive people try and initiate sex with each other. Goes nowhere.
No, you go first.
It was just ridiculous. There's a person that I fancy the pants off of, but we can never get it on unless there's a third party. Because we've never managed to do anything other than kiss, and that required like a lot of effort because both of us will wait for the other one. It's just ridiculous. But it's just how it is. It's like neither of us feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Once you're started, you're fine. But before you start, you don't feel comfortable.
You're all postbox, but no postman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. You must crochet that on for a cup next to your
embroidery.
Yeah. That's lovely.
Embroidery. That's perfect.
A bit of stitch. What's the word? I can't remember.
But I was... sorry.
Go on, doll.
So, because the other thing is about like talking to people online is you've got to actually judge, is it worth it? Is it worth me to catch COVID for this dick? Is it?
Perfect. Well, and I ask as a therapist, I mean, I'm very blunt as a coach and as a therapist. And I do actually ask people that. It's like, is that dick going to be worth it?
Yeah,
right? You're leaving the house. You know nothing about this person and what they're doing. You only know what they've told you. You haven't had a chance to actually get a real feel for them yet. Yeah. Is that dick worth catching COVID for?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get these things like, it's like, so listen to the boys who are like, I said, look, think of it as that, is that dick worth catching AIDS for? Right. It's the same thing. Right. Yeah. You know? And it's like, and some people just go out and do it. And I mean, I'm no judgment. If that's what you want to do, I'm going to help you be as safe as you can be. Mm. It's your choice, but I will ask the question. Mm. And there are loads of people doing it. I mean, I don't know, you know, the swingers convention, Naughty in New Orleans went this year.
No.
Yeah, it did. And all
really?
Of us were like, up. Now, they usually have thousands of people. They only had like 200 people, but we were still sitting there going, what the fuck?
Well, see, Mariah,
what is wrong with you? Why would you do that?
Because
you can't, they were talking about being socially distanced. I'm like, okay, there is no such thing as social distance when you're fucking. How do you socially distance fuck?
Yeah.
We're a house of no judgment, but I am totally judging that. I really
I did too.
I
have to admit, I did too. I was like, I judged the organizers, not the people who came. I judge the organizers for not having the common sense to say, you know, we're going to pause and we're going to do it again next year, but we can't do it this year because you can't socially distance.
Yeah. I don't know how people did that. This whole libido thing, this lockdown libido. I've just had a lot of fun in the bank, Mary. We'll talk about that later. Just been to the bank and it's like, you know, everyone's moving out of the way, you know, to actually kind of fuck someone. Someone new. I genuinely don't know how someone would do it in, you know, IRL, because it just feels because the everything feels so oppressive right now. Everything feels horrible, and it's just not sexy.
I did actually fuck somebody new during this time, but it's a relationship. And
did you?
Yeah, but it's a person who knew me. And so what led up to us actually being physically near each other was both of us being quarantined. I mean, there was a whole palaver towards us being physically near each other. Because both of us were vulnerable. So there was this whole thing that we went through where we isolated. And I mean, it was a palaver. And it's only happened twice because of that, because other things in life made it impossible. You know, there's been lockdowns, there's been tiers where we wouldn't cross tiers. I mean, so there are ways to do it, but they're responsible ways to do it. But those ways mean that, you know, you're not likely to do it very often. And I wouldn't have done it with somebody new in the sense of somebody who I could not trust.
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't have gone and met somebody. I mean, I have met people. I did meet people just before lockdown started, and they went nowhere because I didn't have enough time to get to know them to feel for anybody that is in my life to feel comfortable with me seeing them. So it was like, yeah, no. Okay.
Do you think you're going to keep wearing? I might bring the mask into the bedroom though, because I'll tell you something. I look all right in mine.
We have loads of masks. And I mean,
I bet you do.
Remember, we have loads of masks and ball gags and shit like that. So to us, it's not very, it's like, oh, well, this mask doesn't have any holes in it.
I completely got mask fished the other day by the Greek prime minister of all people. I was looking at pictures of the Greek prime minister because he's all there in his mask having his injection done. And I was like, oh, hello. And then I saw actual pictures of him without his mask. And I was like, you are joking me.
That's a horrible thing to say, Miranda Kane.
I know. I'm so sorry. But if the Greek prime minister does want to get in contact with me with his mask on. Only with his mask on. Now I know he's been vaccinated, so I can catch that dick.
Actually, I had somebody approach me because they've been vaccinated. This was hysterical. So I did get an email from somebody who had been vaccinated who approached me.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of times people approach me without reading profiles that I have, which quite clearly say, don't approach me, approach the owners, because if you approach me, all I'm going to do is refer you and you're going to start off on a bad foot.
Yeah.
Saying, can't you read? The first thing the two of them say is, do you not know how to read? But I found it really interesting that the selling point was, I've been vaccinated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you've been vaccinated once.
Oh, yeah.
And I read the shit, right? You've been vaccinated once. You need to be vaccinated twice and have it. And it's still not 100%.
You can still transfer it.
Right. And so it's not 100%. The vaccine is not the be all and end all. What it does is the same thing as a flu vaccine. Think of it this way. I mean, I don't know if either of you have ever gotten flu during flu season after you've been vaccinated. I have. Why? Because I went to America and it was a different strain in America than what we were vaccinated for here. So I caught the American flu, which was lots of fun too. No. I'm really vulnerable. So I'm going to be really fucking careful.
Do you think some people in the way when AIDS pandemic was first hitting really, and they were kind of like the bareback clubs and some people were going there for that. Do you think that's going to happen? The equivalent?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are going to be people who are going to take the same risks that barebackers take. The thing is, for me, one of the things that I teach, and it's one of my biggest things, is because I don't think anybody teaches people how to risk assess when it comes to relationships and sex. And I spend a lot of time. I mean, my new book just came out, and that's part of the new book where I'm talking, because my new book is skills. It's essential life skills for gaslighting and trauma survivors. And two sections actually are on risk assessing in relationships, because people often don't do it. And so I think, you know, I think it's the same kind of thing. Like barebackers, if you're a barebacker, but you're assessing the risk and you can actually explain to me what the risk to you is and what the risk to others is, then I'm like, okay, I may not agree with doing that, but it's your body, it's your choice.
And you're it's the other's part of it.
Right. And you're getting consent from the other person and it's their choice. But in this case, a lot of people who are taking risks aren't getting consent from anyone else. So anti-maskers don't get consent from the people that they're coming into contact with.
Yeah.
So that's not okay.
And even if you're single, you can say, oh, well, I'm single. bullshit. You still have to talk to, you might have to talk to your postman, the people around you when you're walking in on the street. You don't go straight from a box in your house to the club. You, you know, you get petrol, you buy things, you are putting everyone else at risk. It's not your body, it is the 20 people around you.
Whereas barebacking, you're only putting the person you fuck at risk and any person that you fuck at risk, because barebacking is about, it's transmissible only with bodily fluids most, or contact, bodily contact.
But whoever they fuck and then whoever they fuck and then whoever they fuck.
But at least that requires contact. This just requires breathing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, this is still blowing my mind. But let's go back to the good news, which is I do look very good in a mask. Yeah. And I'm aware that men have been finding me quite attractive. have either of you seen any of the sex parties on Zoom?
No.
I have. I've been invited to a Zoom sex party and chosen not to go. First of all, I don't have a space to set up the camera to do it. Second of all, it's one thing to be in a club naked and be totally into what you're doing. And it's another thing to be on camera naked. Two different things. Yeah. Not comfortable with the naked on camera thing unless it's certain kinds of naked on camera. Like, I wouldn't mind doing a scene on camera. Yeah. That wouldn't bother me. I mean, you know, I could easily see me doing this. Mind you, I'm usually not totally naked in a scene where there's other people around, but I wouldn't mind doing a scene on camera because the focus isn't on the body parts so much. I mean, it's got a dynamic movement to it. So I'm not worried about my attractiveness in the same way as I am when you're fucking. Nobody looks good fucking, by the way. Did you know that?
Not at all.
See who does? The Greek prime minister.
If he keeps his mask on. But I mean, you know, the faces that we make, just not by the way that we normally judge looking good. I mean, if you look at pornography, you know that like so much of it is fake and it's acting. And so that's why people they get in these interesting positions that make them look better. Let's be clear about this. Right? You know, the ass looks better because of the camera angle and all of that. Yeah, no.
So, lighting.
Yeah, the sex party thing for me was like, yeah, I don't think so. But also because I didn't like the idea that you could, it was harder to screen, you know, it was harder to keep.
And people could be recording it.
That's the thing.
You know, you don't know where it's going to end up. And also like, as a ex-sex worker, I also think if I'm going to stand on camera naked, I want to get the money.
Hey, pay me.
Pay me. Fuck you. Pay me.
Look, I haven't been a sex worker and I still have the same thought.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no.
You two are such romantics. I lost you there. It's so beautiful talking to you both.
Love it.
No, I have the same attitude though, because unless I'm having sex with people that I know, in which case we're not doing it on Zoom. I mean, you know, we've got a group of, it's like, there's the waiting list for the party that's going to happen after all of this, when we can finally fly between countries, because for us, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Some of my people are in America and I miss them and they miss us. And it's like, and that's not going to happen until we can comfortably fly between countries.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's interesting is that normally we would go to events. So we go to leather events and we go to BDSM events and we present at events, but we also go to see friends and family and have a good time. Family as in leather family, not as in biological, but, you know, and have a good time. But what's interesting in talking to my people is that none of us are looking forward to going back to an event. We're all like, you know what? We just want to see each other. We just want a group of us together. Fuck the event. Fuck all the strangers who are watching and learning from us and all that. Fuck that, right? We want to see each other. Can we go and see each other? So that's also interesting.
Mary, what's happened about club indulgence and like dating events?
Yeah, we've just put everything, we've just cancelled everything. And that was something that's interesting about this was it San Francisco, the swingers party?
No, it was New Orleans.
New Orleans. Sorry. It was because I've lost out on deposits. Like, we had a big event lined up, and I've lost out on deposits, but I'm taking the hit.
Well, I have the same thing. We had invited somebody to come over, and actually the clients have taken the hit. They've been great because they know that once we were up and running, we invited Midori to come to the UK to teach. And so I had deposits from I had people who paid, but then I paid the hotel. And, you know, people have been really great about this. we didn't lose our deposit. When everything's up and running, we can pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
And the people who paid, the few people who paid have been great about it because I haven't had the money to refund them. It's like, I don't have the money to refund you right now. And they've been great about it because they'll come to something. Either they'll decide to wait until this happens, or a couple of people have said, well, I want to come to this thing you're having. Do I have to pay? And I'm like, no, I can take it off what you paid me already. But yeah, no, I mean, there's loads of events. There's loads of people who've done that, who've had to take the hit because we want to be responsible.
Yeah, exactly. And there's money you put into marketing, which you won't be able to get back.
You never get back.
You've been able to get some deposits back and have done the same as you, as in postpone people. So we still know we can do the events, but, you know, we just don't know when. But it's like, you have to take it on the chin. You just have to, that's what business is. Like, you can't just go, let's just do an event, you know, because the building's on fire. You have to say there's a line. And you know, it's taught me a lot about getting insurance as well.
But mind you, a lot of insurances you couldn't get anyway. You know, I mean, that's the other part of it. You know, getting insurance for events that have anything to do with sex is always interesting. There is insurance that you can get, more of it in the US, but less of it in the UK. There is insurance you can get, but getting insurance, anything around COVID has been like, ridiculous.
Doctor, can I ask a question, please?
Yes, ma'am.
What if I've forgotten how to kiss?
It's kind of like a bicycle, right?
Yeah,
it'll come back to you pretty quickly.
Are you sure? Do you promise?
I am sure. I mean, people are really, you know, you said it in an amusing way, but actually this is something people are really worried about. They're worried about if they've forgotten their physical skills, if they've forgotten how to kiss, if they've forgotten how to have sex in any way, if they've forgotten how to make love, they don't remember what fits into what slot. They're really worried about it. And it's like, it's the same as a sport that you've done. You'll be rusty, but it'll come back.
Kind of like muscle memory, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. So did either of you read the Rolling Stone feature about Zoom and the sex parties?
No. Hey. Oh, I've got to go read it now.
Yeah, go read it. I mean, I know it's not funny, but I mean, and I know, you know, the horrors that have happened because of COVID, but if there's any amusement there, it is kind of, it's fucking awful.
I just think about it. I'm like, first of all, where do you have cameras and beds? I mean, I'm just trying to think about the logistics, right? I'm 50, almost 58 years old. In March, I'll be 58 years old. I don't do up against a wall because my body doesn't do that. You know, I can barely be on my knees for 5 minutes before my body's like, fuck you. Change position, right? So how do you do that? I guess you have
two things. What day is your birthday, March?
16th.
Oh, I'm March 4th. Oh. I thought we might have the same birthday. And my second thing I was going to say, my poor brain's conflating. So I was thinking in my head that the Rolling Stone thing is about sex parties, but my head was thinking the funny thing is people being caught in terms of like a work Zoom call or something like that, having sex. That kind of shit is making me laugh, and I don't know why, because it's awful. I'm sure lives have been ruined.
But that kind of shit happens all the time. I mean, I'll tell you what, talk to people in the BDSM community about the interesting things this has allowed people to tell other people to do.
A whole world has opened up.
Because they're not going to tell somebody to give somebody head during a work situation, because you'd have to be in the office and everybody would be able to see you.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, sit at your computer half naked. You know,
or, oh my you know, God, like this that. Is so mad.
Oh my God.
So,
or put in one of the, or, I mean, I did a whole feature on remote controlled vibes, because there are tons of them. And I do a class where I've got a ton of them, and I show them, each of them, and talk about their wonderful things or the not so wonderful things. But like, it's very popular right now for dominants to have submissives have vibes in during all sorts of meetings. I'm like, they're not that silent, guys. You know, like, first of all, I couldn't concentrate anyway, so it would be a violation for my clients, because there would be no way I would be able to concentrate.
Yeah.
Second of all, they're not quiet enough.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Not quiet enough.
That's so funny. I guess there are other, what other platforms are there? This is how tired I am.
Like, I don't know, but I just have to say, I'm so sorry, guys, because I've definitely got to go at quarter to four.
All right, okay, so we will look at ending this. So first, before you guys go, I definitely want people again to hear where they can find you. I will be putting the the whole thing is in the intro, but also it will be in the podcast notes so people can see your podcast. But tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find Good Sex, Bad Sex. I'm Miranda Kane, and which is Miri_Kane on Twitter and Instagram, Miranda Kane on Instagram. You can find Good Sex, Bad Sex at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify and everything. And we're on Twitter, Good Sex, Bad Sex. Just Google Good Sex, Bad Sex.
Don't forget, they need to listen to your book. Listen to your book.
Yeah, Slave It Away on Audible. Oh, have you cracked it open?
Oh yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. So, definitely, you know, if you guys need some smiles and some laughter, this is definitely a way to do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't want smiles and laughter, read my work.
Because yours is serious.
My shit life. As my friend Gemma said, well done having a life so bad you made money out of it. So, no. But I'm BB Lynch on Twitter and BB Lynch on Insta. And Good Sex, Bad Sex is Good Sex, Bad Sex with 3 X's on Twitter and just the normal spelling on Insta.
Yeah. And I'm Audible, Slaving Away is the...
Yes.
Yep. And it's brilliant. You guys are so great. Thank you so much for joining me for this.
Thank you.
And I hope we see you. I hope we actually get to see you rather than this bloody Zoom.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, when the world opens up, they're going to give me 2 vaccinations and I'm going to stay in 3 weeks and I'll still wear a mask for a lot of things.
Oh, I wish you would. I would too.
I have a leather mask.
Get off my line. Get off my phone.
Hoopla. I have a red leather mask with D-rings on it.
Wow.
Don't. My Greek boyfriend is going to be so jealous.
Oh my god. So yes.
Thank you so much, Laurie. Thank you
my
so
pleasure.
Much.
Oh, thanks, Laurie.
Love to see
you. Take care, lovely.
Take care.
Bye, Miri. Bye, Laurie.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me for the A to Z of Sex this week. The letter was Z, and we did Zoom sex and relationships. I hope that you will have a brilliant week. Be safe. If you've got questions or comments or you want a topic or you have a guest you want, do write me at LoriBeth@DrLoriBethBisbee.com. Head to my website, DrLoriBethBisbee.com, in order to find out more about what I am doing and what is going on. You can sign up to be on the mailing list. There's also a calendar, which will tell you the events that are going on. And the next event that's upcoming on the 30th, which is Saturday, is my book launch party for Dancing the Edge to Reclaiming Your Reality, Essential Life Skills for Gaslighting and Trauma Survivors. This is the companion book to my memoir, which was released earlier in the year. It's a self-help book. It's got loads of exercises in it and good information about the life skills that you need to get on after you have experienced gaslighting and or trauma. The launch party is going to be a lot of fun. It'll start at 12 noon Pacific, 8 p.m. UK, and it'll go until very late, 4 a.m. UK. And we will be having some games, a reading or two, and some of the exercises I'll lead you through from the book. It's a grand time. You can drop in and drop out whenever you want. If you want to come to the party, head over to atozofsex.co/launch party, and that will get you a registration, and then you'll be sent the link once you've registered. It should be great fun. There are not unlimited spots left, so if you really want to do this, you should head over to atozofsex.co/launch party. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you all next week when we start the alphabet again with the letter A.